Well, if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Praise the Lord. And go to verse 1. We'll look at verse 1 and 2. Everybody there? Dear Father, we're about ready to go into the Word of God. And Father, I trust that you'll help me bring this Word out with clarity so that your people would receive it and not only learn, but Father, also do what they learn when it comes to praying. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory for every insight that we receive from you. Amen. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now, if you will, turn over to chapter 8 of Matthew at verse 1. Chapter 8 at verse 1. And when he had come down from the mountains, great multitudes followed him. Now, the reason I brought these two verses out is because from chapter 5, verse 1, till chapter 8, verse 1, is contextually a chronological progression of everything that Jesus wanted to introduce and teach while he was here on planet Earth. And of course, we know that, and all of us are familiar with Matthew chapter 5, was the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. I call this the great way of understanding the constitution of the kingdom of God while we're here on planet Earth. And we've been talking Sunday mornings about prayer and how important it is that we have a prayer life. It is very important. And we brought out some of the points, and of course all of you have got them, or you should have them, in the past about the benefits to really having a prayer life. And so today, if you will, go to Matthew chapter 6, and let's go to verse 5. Matthew 6, 5. And we'll start there. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, some of your translations has reward you openly, but the word openly is not there. The translators put that in there. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask. Isn't that interesting? Before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. And I was taught many years ago that the Lord's Prayer did not belong to us as New Testament believers. And I do not agree with that. I believe that when Jesus was here and he was beginning to teach something, you've got to realize the position that Jesus was in. He was here to fulfill the Old Testament, to usher in the New Testament. And so there were many principles that had to be reintroduced in understanding how the kingdom of God operates within the earth now after Jesus was closing out the Old Testament. And so he was ushering in the new. And it's very interesting. Matter of fact, Matthew is the only one that uses the term kingdom of heaven. He doesn't refer to it as the kingdom of God, but he always refers to it the kingdom of heaven. I've heard many scholars say this, and I do agree with them. The term kingdom of heaven, which Matthew pointed out, is the time period from which Jesus was no longer on the planet Earth, but actually seated in heavenly places, established in the book of Ephesians, the church that had never been before known or understood until Paul, the Apostle Paul, brought an understanding of the church age to the kingdom of God in the earth, to the church in the earth. Now, we already covered the book of Ephesians and how it all centers around a revelation that had not been known ever before on planet earth, and that was a revelation of the church. Many times Jesus used that term when he was walking with the disciples, and he said, "And I'm going to build my church." Well, I imagine the disciples thought, well, you know, I heard him say that many times. What is the church? Because the church had not been revealed until after Jesus had gone and Paul's ministry began. And Paul was the one responsible for bringing the other disciples into the knowledge of the church age. And that's what the book of Ephesians is all about. But anyway, when we come down to seeing Jesus now giving us a manner, therefore, in which to pray, then you got to realize that when we looked at verse 1 of chapter 5, and then we looked at chapter 8, verse 1, that he was in a chronological progression of teaching. And so one of the things that he wanted to clarify in establishing the New Testament constitution is how to communicate with Father, with God. And so he said, after this manner, pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That is what we term the Lord's Prayer. But I'm not going to read the Lord's Prayer according to the translator. I'm going to read it according to the original text. Would that be all right with you guys? Okay, and it's going to change the meaning a little bit here. But he starts off, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, the first part of the last part of verse 9, you will find in chapter 6 here, from verse 16 to 18, will be the answer to "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." You will find it in the verse 16 through 18. Meaning, to literally use his name in a sacred manner. You're not doing it before men to be seen of men, but you're doing it in a secret place with your Father, and you're honoring him by doing it that way. Some people like to pray loud prayers. I've been in churches where everybody is screaming in tongues, and you hear one screaming louder in tongues over another one screaming loud, and it gets to a pitch of frenzy. And when I listen to that, there's something in me went, I'm about ready to go up and tell them to shut up. Because it's like they're in a war with each other. Who can scream the loudest in tongues? You know? And I've been around Christians that love to pray. even in restaurants, to the point where it embarrassed me. Because, you know, the world doesn't know where we're coming from. And sometimes we need to use a little common sense about some things to not bring a reproach to people's understanding. You know, there's a way we conduct ourselves that's honorable before men that don't understand our position in God. And so he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." In other words, he's going to tell us in chapter 6 here, verse 16, 17, and 18, how we use our prayer closet in a sacred way in honor of his name. Then notice this, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And Jesus goes on and tells you that part of the Lord's Prayer by this chapter here, starting at verse 19 through 34. Verse 19 through 34. Because he's capitalizing on the fact of what his will would be being done on earth as it is in heaven. And so he tells you here how to pray his will on earth as it is in heaven. He gives us verses. Talks about the treasure, where the treasure is in our heart, so forth and so on. Then when he gets to verse 11, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's part of 19 through 34, the verses there. Talking about your heavenly Father will always supply your needs. Always see to it that your provision, your daily food is provided for. So you find it in those verses. So Jesus not only said briefly a manner in which to pray, but he went into detail to explain it out, the Lord's Prayer. Clear to chapter 8, verse 1. Have you ever thought of that before? See, a lot of people haven't thought of it that way before. But when I was praying one day, the Lord was showing, I asked the Lord, "Father, make me more effective in my prayer closet. Make me more powerful in my prayer closet." And I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you talk to God, I've learned something real fast. Your friends are just as important to God as your enemies when you're talking to God. Because he was talking about prayer right after the Sermon on the Mount. He said things that baffled those people. "What do you mean pray for those that despitefully use me? What do you mean pray for those that are my enemies?" Nobody ever heard of that before. And you certainly wouldn't pray for your enemies publicly so that they would hear that you have a concern for them. These people never even thought of that kind of praying. Especially if they do it publicly, to be seen and heard of all men. Hallelujah. They had too much pride for that. "And forgive us our debts as we forgave." Our translator put in there "forgive," but it's "forgave," past tense. So he says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgave our debtors." And that verse here is chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. 1 through 12. If you want to write that down in your book there. Verse 12 is chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Where chapters 10 and 11 is chapter 6 here, verses 19 through 34. "And our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," is chapter 6 here, verse 16, 17, and 18. Now, watch this. Verse 13. "And do not lead us into temptation." This is how it's worded in the original text. And not bring us into temptation. But rescue us from evil. Now notice this. In verse 13, this is where chapter 7, verses 13 through 29 come into play. In other words, it explains why he will not bring you into that place of temptation, because after all, you've forgiven those as he has forgiven you your debt. Because when you go to verse 13 of chapter 7 and you read through to verse 29, it explains very clearly how you can be rescued from what we have, our translators putting here, temptation. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think God would bring you to temptation, what I call evil temptation? It's not even part of His nature. Well, this is where it really helps to understand some of the words that were originally used in the text to their meaning than what you read on the surface sometime of what we're reading. The word temptation here has nothing whatsoever to do with being brought into evil. This word for temptation here is very, very interesting. This word literally is never used for the purpose of causing a person to fall or fail. Matter of fact, it would be better translated, if it was translated, and not bring us into a place that if we don't forgive man, my character will be tested. So if you cannot, when you go and you're communicating to your Heavenly Father and you can't release people in your life, then when you get into that prayer closet, what's going to happen is that if you do not really sincerely forgive men, before your conversation can carry on, God is going to have to deal with the nature in which you are approaching Him with. Man, that ceiling was gone. You know, people can do a lot to you in your life. They can trespass your grounds. But I'll tell you what, people, you need to remove the no trespassing signs and allow them to go into places that even if it would be a trespass in your life, it would not bother you. It would not bother you. And that's why when He says, and you do not bring us into temptation, my character was in question. God knew that I had to get some more of me out. You know, the closer you get with God, the more you surrender. The more you surrender. People, I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to shock a lot of you. This is not straight from the Greek. This is straight from Bible. Are you ready? God wants you to walk free of being critical of all people. He wants you to walk in love with everyone. And if they fail, still walk free from them, especially when you pray to your Heavenly Father. Be free in your heart with all men, because no one is perfect. So when you look here, it says, but you rescue us from evil. What He was talking about is when you get into chapter 7, look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in through it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. He's talking about prayer. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now, he went into explaining something that was very interesting. He was explaining this concerning people who do not know how to walk free of the mistakes of other people. Because he says, if you're going to be quick to judge somebody, just remember the very thing that you're judging them with will come back on you too. He says, therefore, he went and said, ask, knock, and seek. That's all terms of prayer. And these guys we're coming down to a verse that would really throw you off. Many will say to me in that day, verse 22, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me who practice lawlessness. And when you read this, I never knew you, you begin to think, they never knew the Lord to begin with. They weren't saved. But the word here is not the word oida, which literally meant having no relationship with them. It is the word gnosko. So it would have been better translated, I never had an approving relationship with you. So evidently they were praying, they were seeking, they were knocking, they were asking, and nothing was getting answered. Why? Because their heart was not right. Why? They were looking at everybody else's chip, but they didn't do with the log that was in them. You see. So he's going on explaining off the Lord's Prayer how to forgive men. Mankind. That includes you women. That's what he was after. Well, if the Lord's going to approach you and say, you know what, your prayer closet's going to be a whole lot better if you deal with this. God wants to be honored by you. And the best way you can honor God is to be what God asks you to be, especially when you talk to Him. I hope this is making sense to you. Now, some of you are probably wondering, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, thank God it's not in any translation. Our translators put it in there. If it did, it would have changed the continuity of the context. So he was still dealing with the issue of the Lord's Prayer. How to pray. Well, first of all, when you go in your prayer closet and you're going to pray, first of all, you need to reverence His name. Second of all, what you need to do is do what? Believe that He will provide for you. Believe it. Most of us are going in the prayer closet and we say, oh God, I need. And a lot of times God is trying to say, you're walking stupid. If you let me pour some wisdom into you, you won't get into the fix you're in. But where your treasure is, there's your heart going to be anyway. You know. He was dealing with the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, you give us this day our daily bread. How many of you, have you ever woke up in the Lord and the Lord ever spoke to you and tell you, today is going to be rough for you? And you're going to go, why is it going to be rough, Lord? I'm not providing for you today. You're not providing for me. Nuh-uh. I'm not providing for you. How many of you begin to wonder, can He really provide for me? See, He wants you to go into a prayer closet knowing He'll provide for you. But He wants you. You see. He wants to provide for you. He wants you to know that you care for Him. He wants to know that you're better than the plant life on planet Earth. I can see that in pulling weeds. Have you ever looked at your grass? How brown it gets? But them weeds are as green as grass. God, do you provide for these weeds too? You sure not providing for my grass. That's why he starts off, judge not that you be not judged. For with the same judgment you'll judge others, the same measure will be measured back to you. He says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own? I'll tell you, I was there. As a pastor of this church, I was there. I had ought against you guys because you weren't treating me right. Yeah, I'm being honest. Gossip, carrying on. Never in church. I have ought against Him, Lord. And the trouble was, I wanted out of my own church. Somebody came to me and said, I feel like leaving. I says, well, join the crowd. I feel like leaving myself. It's just the attitude of our heart. with God. It's the attitude of our heart. When you go to talk to God, be honest with Him. Have the right attitude with people. Love people in spite of people. It's easier on you. You know something? Find your worst enemy and pray for them with the right heart. Watch how difficult that is. When I was feeling like a failure as a pastor, I said, God, where do I start so I can feel good about what I'm doing? He says, pray for the brother that is pastoring down the street for you to succeed. I don't want him to succeed. It grates you. I'd just soon everybody leave him and come over here. Somebody rips you off financially. The first thing you want to do is, that's it. That's the last straw. Suddenly George Washington has a real stronghold in your life. Not Jesus, George. And so Jesus is dealing with the concept of prayer. And so when he comes down to says, I never knew you, that is a Greek word, gnosko, meaning the difference between gnosko and oida has to be really considered, because one is a knowledge that increases. And when you never get your heart right with God, did you know that you'll keep taking in information, but it'll never become a revelation? You'll never grow spiritually. You just get a fatter head. But when you have the right heart with God, believe me, everything will work for you. Now, why were they making this appeal to God? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And it talked about New Testament principle. Have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And you know what they were making appeal to him for? Their house was going down the river. Because their house was built on sand and not a rock. That's why their whole concept of talking with God was not approved, because God couldn't reach them. And as a result, their house was going down the river. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Just as important to you as your walk with God is just as important to God, in the mind of God, as your walk with your brother and sister. Co-equal. Now the problems that we can walk with God anytime we want, because God never makes any mistakes in our life. But when we have brothers and sisters in life that make mistakes, that's harder for us to walk with, because we have a hard time with their mistakes. We as a church should love those who are going through the most difficult times in their life. We should stretch ourselves beyond it and love them even more. That's where pray for your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Where is that concept? And I'll tell you what, we are living in some difficult times. We are living with difficult situations in people's lives. Even you have difficult situations in your life. And the one thing that you need more than anything else is people that will pray for you, that will stand behind you no matter where you failed, and do everything to help you get right back on track. That's why it says he that is spiritual has to reset the dislocated bone in the body of Christ. You have to be a spiritual being in order to do that. I'm finding it harder and harder to even pinpoint who the fault really is, because I recognize that God can work in both those who are at fault and those who are not. God loves us. And our time with him in prayer is so important, people. It is so important that if you're not careful, you can slowly bring judgment upon yourself and not even know it. And wake up one morning and you cannot recover from the snare of the adversary, because he is the accuser of the brethren. You're going to see God's people. And I believe this with my whole heart. You're going to see God's people begin to respond as never before to the love of God. And there's going to be some praying going on in the household of God that you will not be able to stop the love of God in the body of Christ. I don't even care what denomination you belong to. If you love Jesus, you're in my camp. You might not believe the same way I do, but hey, who cares? I can pray for you. I can lift you up. And if you lack understanding, I can pray for you to get the right understanding. I can sick the Holy Ghost on anybody if I do it with the right heart. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 People, I'm just telling you, living with people, it's hard. But living with God, it's easy. Amen. Did you get something here this morning? You guys better straighten up. But how many understood what I was saying today about the Lord's Prayer and how progressive it is between the fifth chapter 5 and chapter 8? Because see, then he says he walked down from the mountain. You see him, that's the heart of the Lord. He wants us to love each other. We're all so vulnerable to mistakes, except me. Boy, I don't know how many times I had to make things right. We all ought to do that. When we start thinking in our heads wrong about people, we need to call them and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think? Well, it depends on what you're thinking, though. Yeah. Well, forget that one. Did you guys all get something? Amen. Stand up. Don't pray for the Seahawks. They're going to win already. Let's all stand up. Looks like they got everybody. Dear Father, as we now close this service, if there be anybody here that Father would like to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Father, we're open to receive them. Father, if there's anybody here that would like the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, Father, we're here to administer that to them. Anything else should have been taken care of under the communion, Father. If they needed healing, the communion table administers that. If they needed to forgive, then that has been administered also. But we're here for those that want salvation or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you're here and you want one or the other, would you step out right now and come forward? We'll be patient. Anybody here would like to come forward and receive salvation or the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Anybody? We have a hospitality room in the back for those of you that are just visiting, would like to meet with me. Have any questions about anything, feel free to go back there and they'll be there for you until I get there. Anybody? Okay. Dear Father, thank you for this service. Father, remind them that we're not having one this evening, but Father, be with them today. And may they have a wonderful day in you. May they enjoy the rest of their day. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.